Hi, folks. My name is Michael Cox, and welcome to the Heartwork Podcast. Today, we've got a special guest in the studio with us today. This is in person. This is not video virtual. This is in person. With me today is Shanaz Ikone. I'm getting it. Yeah. Shanaz is a licensed professional counselor, speaker, and consultant dedicated to helping individuals, businesses, and organizations navigate stress, anxiety, and burnout. Shanaz specializes in high-quality mental health services, workplace wellness strategies, and leadership coaching tailored for business professionals or the busy professional, corporate teams, high-achieving individuals seeking balance, resilience, and emotional agility. Welcome, Shanaz.
Thank you, Michael. Thank
so
you
for good to have me. You. Yeah. All right. So I read all the formal stuff. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah.
Give us some details, background, all of that stuff.
Absolutely. So I'm a mental health therapist here in Pflugerville, mm-hmm. and I own and operate a virtual private practice. Okay. And I primarily serve adults, and my specialty is trauma-informed care. Mm-hmm. And I love what I do. I love serving specifically women as well as like postpartum communities. But over the pandemic, I was asked to do more speaking engagements to support workplace wellness. And mm-hmm. I noticed that there was just like this huge gap of services. During the pandemic, people were really anxious and overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And so workplaces were kind of scrambling to figure out what to do. And so I started offering workplace wellness workshops. So virtually I'd be streamed, you know, in New York or Europe or wherever, mm-hmm. at different time zones. And I just found a passion in also serving the community in a broader scale with workshops and wellness to make sure that it's accessible.
Yeah.
And it helped with the employees managing their stress and anxiety. And it kind of took off from there.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So just so y'all know, just a little bit, Shanaz and I just kind of came across each other.
Yeah.
Both live are here in Pflugerville, do offices here, live in Pflugerville.
Yeah.
And kind of she's got some social media. We'll tell you about that at the end, things that she do.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing this? How long have you been in the practice? Tell us about your family.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been in practice since 2014.
Okay.
I'm originally from Dallas. So I grew up, born and raised in Dallas, thought I'd forever live in Dallas. And then I met my husband and that kind of changed everything. Yeah. And he was doing his program here at UT Austin, getting his doctorate in public health.
Okay.
And so we did long distance for 2 years and then we got married and then we moved here.
Okay.
So then we just started our family here and I have 2 kids. I have a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So this record for me.
Yeah. So they are 15 months apart. Wow. And so that kind of also helped me pivot my niche for who I serve. Mm-hmm. So my first birth experience, there was a lot of racial trauma. Okay. In the birthing experience. So that was in 2019.
Okay.
So it wasn't long ago.
Wow.
And it's at one of the major hospitals in Austin, Texas. And the amount of racism and systemic issues I noticed impact the healing process. Hmm. And so I started to pivot and serve more women, specifically women of color, helping them advocate for birth equity. And then, 6 months later during the pandemic, got pregnant again. Thought I had COVID because the first pregnancy test came back negative. But then literally, God came to me in a dream and told me that I was pregnant. And then he also told my husband the same thing. So we took the test again. And so we have 2 kids. So the first one is Zion and the second one is King.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're
both boys.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So boy world. You know, we have 3.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay. So it's just been wonderful just to see them grow. And starting private practice is really fostered from wanting to spend more time with my family.
Yeah.
Because as therapists, we're required to have a certain caseload or do this and that.
Yeah.
So I always had my private practice on the side, but I never fully believed that I could do it until after my second baby during the pandemic. Yeah. I was like, hey, I got to have an exit strategy so I can make my life and legacy worthwhile and to be present. And so I'm 3 years full time in private practice right now.
Yeah. So what did you do before? Where were you at?
I was all over the place.
Okay.
So I worked in Bastrop at a drug facility, detox center.
Okay.
I also worked in schools. Mm-hmm. I worked in all the inpatient centers here in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
I started running and leading their outpatient PHP IOPs.
Okay.
And then I was just doing so many other things.
Yeah.
And so kind of what led me back to it is I love outpatient services for continuation of care. But then I also love specifically private practice because then I can just set my hours and my time and really niche down to serve my ideal client and kind of find joy and passion doing that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So you hit on this and I was hoping you and I could have a conversation about this.
I'm a little weird.
I'm not a big fan of the word people of color, right?
Yeah.
And that I'm like, I don't know if it's any different, but the population. So
I think we see,
there is an upswing in folks that look like us that are pursuing counseling now. From your perspective, why do you think folks are more comfortable? Like why? Why are the folks, maybe it's, I think it's a younger generation probably, but like why do you think folks are more comfortable now pursuing specifically people of color?
Absolutely. I think what was the catalyst for many people that I talked to was the death of George Floyd. And a lot of companies weren't doing anything. And the company I was at didn't say anything. And we were serving all marginalized clients. And so that didn't sit right with me. We were kind of like waiting for them to kind of make an announcement and kind of offer that support and wraparound. And they received so much backlash that they had to hire a consultant to kind of fix that for them. But I noticed that after George Floyd, people were starting to recognize that there are some social injustices going on, that communities are facing different stressors. And everybody's saying it's political, but no, it's a social issue. It's a human issue. And so I think a lot of people have kind of left that and kind of found therapists that look like them or can vibe with them. I know for me specifically in the South Asian community, there's still stigma for mental health. So for me, it's like, hey, I want to be out there and telling you, go heal yourself. Like this generational trauma, the whole like in our culture specifically, there's this phrase, it's like, what will other people think? And that's kind of to keep you in this little box or bubble to like, don't step out of that box. Like you're going to be a nurse, a doctor, an engineer. I was supposed to be a nurse. My mom was a nurse. My grandmother was a nurse. My auntie was a nurse. I was like, no, I tried so hard. I volunteered at all the hospitals. I was like, this is not for me. But really what was interesting is we never talked about our feelings. We never talked about mental health. So I was kind of drawn to that. So for me, I think a lot of people are noticing, especially like on social media, people are talking about their traumas. Like everybody has like a parent that is going through something, it seems like. And so there's a lot of conversation now around mental health. And I think people are finding to align with that. Some people prefer that.
And, you know, there's just, I think there's this sense that people realize we are whole beings. Right? And so we can't be isolated into one certain way. But I think you hit on a point, and that's, it's a lot of why, like I never set out to be the black male therapist. Like it never was, I even advertised that way. But I think what's been nice is that folks, well, they're searching on Psychology Today or something like that, they obviously are going to see me, right, and see you, and there's a connection there. I do think there is sometimes a expectation that there's an automatic connection, right, just because we
but we might be different.
But it may not always be the case, but I think it takes down at least that first layer.
The safety,
because I love when, like, especially if I have a couple come in and maybe the wife has done most of the work and they come in, the guy, it's almost like his whole demeanor changes, because it's like, oh wait, it's a dude and it's a dude of color.
It's like, let me relax my shoulders back and lean into the chair and get real
and actually really connect, which is really good. What, so when you think about like trying to reach out, so I think when you think about your family and thinking about what we do in this field and things that's happening there, you mentioned that you do a lot of trauma work. What's tough, right? I think in the work that we do is that people need the help. We need stigma reduction. We need all these different things. But also sometimes I kind of feel sometimes things can become trendy. Like I'm so grateful that people are talking about trauma, that people are talking about their experiences. But it gets hard. What are your thoughts? Like when you start thinking like it, sometimes it feels in that it's like everybody wants to jump on the word.
Everybody, I think,
have a really name for it maybe.
I think everybody's looking for an answer, right? Like a few years ago, like the neurodivergency, like everybody was ADHD, right? Like that was trending a few years ago on TikTok and like social media. And now what I think is trending is like the emotionally unavailable parent or the narcissistic personality traits of that. I'm seeing different trends. And so I think you take it with a grain of salt. I always encourage people, go get the help with a licensed professional. So that we can get to the core of it. And if there is any trauma or anything going there, let's just clear it out so you have a fresh start.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and I think you're hitting on it, right? That's where, like, what we're doing, podcasting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Social media, all these things, where it's come out. So it's that double-edged sword, mm-hmm. because it, the word's getting out. But unfortunately, yeah. because folks have so much access to everything.
Yeah.
You know, they try to make up their minds about
exactly
what they think and what's happening. What do you see? You said you do a lot in the corporate world.
Yeah.
Do you see that? I mean, I you know, I feel like I see everyday people, and you know, we do office work and that kind of thing. But
yeah,
when you're connecting with corporate America, mm-hmm. is that trending with what's happening everywhere else? Are people more guarded?
Yeah,
in that arena, or
I think it depends on the workplace. Like, okay. if the workplace already has inclusion and safety and psychological safety, mm-hmm. people are able to talk a little bit more.
Okay.
But what shows up among the leadership is the imposter syndrome, that mm-hmm. I'm not good enough, that I don't know what I'm doing. I'm yeah. leading this team and they're going to find out I'm a fraud. There's a lot of imposter syndrome in corporate America and yeah. like low self-worth. Yeah. Yeah. I would say also tied to like burnout and like capitalism, all of that kind of fuels and gotcha. Channels itself.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So the facade's there.
Yeah.
And so when you're addressing folks, like mm-hmm. what is maybe some of the tools? What are some things that you address when you're talking to corporate America and mental health?
Yeah. So I really like to get to know HR and the leaders and what they're doing.
Okay.
And then what they're seeing, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. they might think that they have all these policies and procedures, but then how many sick days, how many people are calling out? Mm-hmm. What is the morale? Is there, you know, things that you celebrate, or is mm-hmm. it all just like you have to stay and clock in? Do you have parental leave? I look at all of their benefits mm-hmm. and say, like, are you supporting the people?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we kind of go in and we talk about what they need.
Okay.
And then I curate something like a program for them. So a lot of times, you know, companies don't address menopause.
Yeah.
You know, there's 1 billion women in menopause this year, and it's just going to get more and more. And we're losing a lot of the best and brightest employees.
Yeah.
They're not
yeah.
getting supported. I did a menopause session a few years back with this company, and people were like crying. Mm-hmm. And they were like, this is the first time I feel seen. Like, I wanted to leave my job because it was so embarrassing to show mm-hmm. up to work and then I'd have a sweat. And talking,
yeah.
creating conversation creates empathy, and yeah. empathy creates understanding for changing policies.
Mm-hmm. So maybe this is a quick call out. I don't know how this works. Have you seen that there's a lady, I literally just found her this week, and I showed it to my wife.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name, but she does like a, it's on social media.
Okay.
And she does these things about perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause.
Oh yeah.
And she gets on, she's like it's a meeting. It's like she's got dressed up in these really wild things, and she's like, I'm calling an official meeting of members and not members, and we don't really care. Like, it is hilarious. I don't remember her name, or I shout out on social media, but I came across it because, you know, we're at interesting times in our lives right now with our age and our family. And so, yeah, it's a thing. And I think just the fact that people are feeling that they can have a space to talk about what's going on in life and mm-hmm. what's happening in life. So, for me, I think one of the big deals I want to get out there is I harp a lot on family.
Yes.
And caring for our families, the needs of a family. Mm-hmm. One of the things I think that we have gotten a little away from is the nucleus of a family.
Yes.
I think that that's what, to me, is the bedrock of mm-hmm. our future.
Yes.
If we don't get a good handle on our families, like that's a trickle effect that's going to happen in society beyond
Absolutely.
That. You mentioned it a while ago about parents and regulation. And mm-hmm. so I don't know how much you and I have talked, but that's my focus.
Yeah.
That is my work, is helping parents regulate.
I love that.
And 'cause I've worked with teenagers for so long, and I mm-hmm. realize that, you know, parents are struggling, right?
They
to know
are.
What to do with that. And that's not a shaming of parents.
Right.
Is many parents aren't equipped. And so you think about what's been passed down in generations.
Exactly.
What does that look like? What does family look like for you? Like, when it comes to caring for your family, mm-hmm. your family's own well-being.
Yeah.
What does that look like for y'all?
I think it's really important to always have this approach that if you make a mistake, there's time to repair that. Mm. I think a lot of parents say like, oh, well, I lost it with my kid. It's like, no, connection before correction, right? Mm. Like, connect, get to know your kid, show interest in their hobbies and interests. My background is also in play therapy.
Oh, yeah.
So it was important for me to teach my kids about their feelings mm. and like set them up for success to help them identify what's going on in their world.
Yeah.
You know, every Friday I go to their lunch. It doesn't matter how busy I am. Mm. Like, I had one client that's like, I can only meet Friday at 10. I was like, there's no other times. I was like, okay, well, okay. This is my commitment to my kids, because they just light up.
Yeah.
Like, they're just so excited. Mm-hmm. And I want to model and be the parent that I didn't have. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's just about making sure that they feel safe and understood.
Yeah.
And it's also up to me to teach them that. Mm-hmm. So co-regulation.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. That co-regulation, modeling it for them, right? To
all
know
of
what
that.
To do. So this is maybe jumping a little bit in topic, but
sure.
So a lot of the work that I've done is going to be with adolescents, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. teens. And a lot of people think that it's too late in the teen years because, you know, we messed them up already or whatever in that. And my mantra is that, well, if it's too late in the teen years, why do we have so many adults in therapy?
Thank you. Right?
Why do we have so many adults in therapy? Exactly. So it's definitely not too late for teens. And so, so I think it's interesting. What I've done in my own practice is I don't see children under 15 unless it's family therapy.
Right.
It just will not happen. What is, from a person that comes from a play therapy background, it mm-hmm. might be helpful for our audience to hear what is that? What is the, you know, what's helpful for kids? Because mm-hmm. I think there is a place and there, like, that's a rule that I have, but it's not like golden in or the steadfast rule. Yeah. There are people that are dealing with issues. Like, I have a couple of young people I see because they have some very specific things they're working on, mm-hmm. but I help their parents know how to support them.
Yeah.
How do you differentiate? Like, what is therapy for children?
Yeah.
Why would a child need to go and have therapy? I know that could be like its own series and conversation.
I know, right? Yeah. But, so, in all of the practice that I've done with play therapy, the youngest client I've worked with is 4. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the children I worked with initially were children of like abuse and trauma.
Yeah.
But then I started working in schools and other things. So I would say the biggest part is that play is universal. Mm-hmm. So play becomes their language. The toys become their language. A lot of times it was hard to explain play therapy to parents because mm-hmm. they're like, well, we have a playroom at home, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, but each toy actually represents something and it represents something different to them. Like, for example, this microphone, mm-hmm. it is a microphone. To the kid, it could be a giraffe or a mm-hmm. dinosaur, right? So you enter the child's world and you see their how they process and how they deal with things. Yeah. I had a client that had like these dinosaur toys and she would bury it in the sand and like things would happen with the dinosaurs and there is aggression. Turns out mom was in a domestic violence relationship. Mm-hmm. And then one day the dinosaur went into a cage and was put away there. Mm-hmm. Dad was arrested, right? Mm-hmm. So there is things that we pull from both the parent.
Yeah.
The logical part and mm-hmm. like the teachers and their whole community. And then we also observe their play and we let the child lead. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes as parents are like, you're doing this and you're doing that. Give the child choices. Hey, mm-hmm. let's pack your lunch today. Do you want the applesauce or the banana?
Right.
Give them autonomy, teach mm-hmm. them responsibility, you know, encourage them, foster that resiliency in them mm-hmm. and love on them, right? Unconditional love, right?
Yeah.
And that can be hard.
Yeah, no, I love that. It's guidance, right? So you're mm-hmm. guiding them through that process. And I think there's this place where maybe we've done it in our field. I don't know where it's come from, mm-hmm. but there's this almost like a shame of parents. It's your fault, right? Yeah. This is what your kid's experiencing outside of abuse or neglect, right? I would very much say that's your fault as a parent was doing those things. But, you know, a lot of us are learning as we go.
Right.
How would you advise folks? Like if you, I know you're not doing as much in this arena anymore, but how would you invite, like when, because going back to what feels trendy sometimes, mm-hmm. even therapy now is kind of that way where it's like, hey, my child's dealing with something and let's go get them therapy.
Right.
Like, what would you say to a parent that's like kind of on the fence? Mm-hmm. And if there's not trauma,
right?
If there's not maybe some level of neglect or abuse that's happening,
right?
What would you say to a parent that's thinking, something's going on, maybe I need to get them therapy? Mm-hmm. And we're thinking, you know, maybe between 7 and 11, you know, kind of young. How would you advise a parent to consider, hey, maybe this is something, maybe this is not?
Yeah, I say like, if you want to go, try it out and see, mm-hmm. you know, the child's going to learn social skills, concepts, there might be art therapy, sand tray, mm-hmm. there's different modalities to help them process and express selves. I would say that if you're just going to therapy because it's trendy, then I mean, if you want to have the time and money to do that once a week, I don't think there's any harm in doing that. Mm-hmm. But the therapist is going to be like, what are we treating? We can only do so much. So I would say it goes back to the house. Like, what are you mm-hmm. doing in the house? Yeah. How are you communicating? How are you expressing yourself? Mm-hmm. What are you modeling? And how can we kind of change that, right? Yeah. It depends on their goals and what they want.
Yeah. And that's tough, right? That's kind of how I landed mm-hmm. at family therapy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even with things that there's a need, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to trauma or something else.
Exactly.
And a parent still is the person that takes them away from your office after the hour.
Right.
Right. And so being able to help them know how to support their child mm-hmm. in whatever they're experiencing, to walk the journey. And mm-hmm. I've gotten to this place where maybe I'm almost 50. Maybe that's what it is. I'm going to claim that that's what it is.
You don't look 50. Wow. Okay.
Almost 50 years old. Actually, in a week, I will be 50. Ooh. Week and a half. But it is this sense of taking some responsibility mm-hmm. as a parent of how to guide. So if you don't know anything, like we would do this in our workplace.
Yeah.
If I'm unaware of how to do something,
right.
I'm likely going to go figure it out. And sometimes I think in parenting, folks get, there's this, again, maybe stigma around, oh, well, it's my fault. Well, let's take some ownership.
Right.
Right. And there's a place where maybe you can learn something different. That doesn't mean you're harming your child.
Right. It's something new.
Got to learn something new.
Right.
And be able to help them through that.
And I think also I see this a lot in my postpartum communities where they just had the baby and they're like, oh, I want them to do all these things. Like, mm-hmm. okay, let's just make sure that we're changing their diaper and feeding them and yeah. cuddling them.
Yeah.
And then we'll work through other things because sometimes they have their own insecurities they want to place on this child. And mm-hmm. it's like, no, you're doing all the right things, but build your community.
Yeah.
And talk to other parents and learn and do this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna give you one of my terms.
Yeah.
I was talking earlier about some writing that I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I'm the originator of this term, but I'm coining it.
Okay, right?
I'm
you better.
I get that? I'm taking the advantage of it.
Yeah.
But this concept of parenting from a childhood perspective.
Mm.
In that, you kind of mentioned it even in your own story a little bit yeah. of how I think we step into marriage. I think we step into parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, either trying to repeat our childhood.
Yes.
Well, we had a great childhood. So why can't I give that to my kids?
Mm-hmm.
Or I had a horrible childhood and I want to do exactly opposite.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
For me, the problem with that is I'm no longer a child.
Right.
And it's also not fair to my child
mm-hmm.
of whatever is my drive.
Right.
That as opposed to really realize, oh, wait, I'm an adult who has had experiences as children.
Mm-hmm.
Who's had experience under our parents' leadership.
Yeah.
But now I'm an adult. Likely, obviously, if I've got a child, then I've been connected with another adult.
Right. Exactly.
So,
yeah.
And so the hard two. Part about that is both of you are potentially doing that if mm-hmm. you're doing opposite. And
yeah.
so if he had a horrible childhood and he wants it better, yours is great. They're going to clash.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you and I know
right.
is that unless there's intentional effort, you're going to do the things you've known and react and you're...
It's going to come out.
Your nervous mm-hmm. system is going to respond.
Yeah.
And those things. So you have clashing. And so you right. have parents who are battling
mm.
parenting because it's like, well, this is what I've always known. Or my childhood was so great. This is what we should be having. And yet it's not turning out that way. So you've got this whole shame thing that's going
yes.
on because it's
yes.
not happening there. So what do you see, right, when it comes to mm-hmm. parents talking through, I'm sure you're connected to
yeah,
other moms and
absolutely.
Things. Do you hear any of that happening?
Absolutely. And I think a lot of it is like parents will like brush it off
mm-hmm.
and they'll say, you know, like, oh, my kid's acting out at school.
Yeah.
Okay, but they're probably acting out at home as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably disrespecting you at home yeah. and they think it's okay. So
yeah.
it's like what you model in your home is what you're going to see in your community. It's not like these behaviors just like turn on and off like a little switchboard.
Right, right.
And so I think there's a lot of shame with parents is like, hey, I could have done more.
Yeah.
Or, oh man, I wish I spent more time. It's like, you still have time.
Mm-hmm.
You still yeah. have time.
Yeah. Yeah, when we're talking about with teenagers, that's part of why we kind of gotten on this wagon of it's not mm-hmm. too late because
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of parents feel discouraged there. And
mm-hmm.
I see when folks come into my office, that's part of what happens because
mm-hmm.
I do work with a lot of teenagers. It's just
yeah.
that sense that I don't know what to do. I can't do it. And a lot of that is their own stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? That
mm-hmm.
is like, I can't do it. No, let's help you know how to identify
right.
what's happening. Because I think the other thing that happens, especially with teenagers, is that there's a sense that I'm the problem.
Yeah.
So let me go drop you off in therapy.
Right. No. Mm-mm.
Because you're the problem.
It's like, you better pull up a chair, mama or daddy or whoever, because we're doing this.
Bring it in mm-hmm. together. That's good. Well, I'm curious, just real quick.
Yeah.
What's next for you? Like what projects you've got going on? What are you doing professionally?
Yeah. So I'm trying to do more like e-products and digital downloads to make therapy more accessible. So
okay.
people that are busy professionals, some worksheets and
mm-hmm.
e-books are
okay.
down the pipeline. Also booking more speaking engagements. So
yeah.
companies that need more support on site, I'm going to be offering on site wellness support. So
okay.
they can book me for like 4 hours and I come once or twice a month.
Yeah.
And whoever needs it will get that support.
Okay.
And things like that. And I hope to partner with other like development centers to help create some programming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, cool. Tell
yeah.
us about where you are. I know you've got social media stuff going on. We'll
yeah.
tag it and
sure.
do all the stuff that we do. But
yeah.
tell folks how to get in contact with you.
Yeah, I'm pretty much anywhere. My mm-hmm. name is so unique. So
yeah.
if you just Google my name, you're going to see all kinds of nonsense about me. I mean, like I have a TikTok, an Instagram,
mm-hmm.
LinkedIn, Facebook, website. So I'm here. I'm around.
Okay.
So yeah, people can reach out, message me.
Yeah.
I love chatting and connecting about mental health. So
cool,
mm-hmm.
cool, cool.
Yeah.
What, and so in the content, what do you like? I've watched the sometimes it's just hanging out in your house. Like, what is your content? Like, what is
so the interesting thing about my content is, especially on TikTok, like I never how do you say it? Like plan it. Yeah. It's all improv.
Okay.
So everything I do on my social media is just like, hey, I have 5 minutes in between session. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm seeing. Let me talk about it. It's usually based around like encouragement yeah. or something funny around parenting or being yeah. a mom, things like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Yeah. So if people want to get in contact with you, mm-hmm. how do they do that?
Yeah, they can message me on my website okay. and they can email me directly. They can also contact me through social media and I can book an appointment with them or set up a consultation.
Okay, yeah. Good stuff. Now, I know I was struggling earlier in trying to get it. Ikone.
Yeah, okay. It's a Nigerian last name.
Nice, mm-hmm. nice. Mm-hmm. I've got to meet your husband.
Yeah, you do. I think you guys would really connect. Yeah. You should have him on your podcast, actually. Yeah, he's really good. He works in education and SEL and he does a lot of cool stuff.
He works in SEL?
Yeah, like he does like social emotional learning. He works at the district right now, but he's really great. He was at a men's conference talking, so he also brings like faith-inspired topics as well.
Actually, it sounds like the four of us need to hang out.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if my wife's in education.
Oh, I didn't know
27 years in education, and she does ESL. She's the ESL coordinator for our campus.
Oh, cool. So,
yeah, the four of us need to hang out.
Okay,
that's what's happening.
Yeah.
We're probably past podcast stuff, but
yeah.
Thank you guys so much. Shanaz, thank you so much for being on. Mm-hmm. We're definitely going to do this again.
Oh, absolutely.
When we got some more content coming out and book stuff comes out, we'll start talking about it. But
for sure.
Please check her out. We'll have all of her information connected to the podcast. Mm-hmm. But thank you again for tuning into the Heartwork Podcast. Please follow, share, like all the stuff that you're supposed to do on social media. And we'll see you next time.